Wisdom to Live By. We're making our way through the book of Proverbs, and today we find ourselves in Proverbs chapter 17. And so if you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 17, because together today we are going to look at how the Bible writer talks about three ways to avoid God's wrath. Three ways to avoid God's wrath. I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of someone's wrath. If you have, you can likely attest that such an experience is not a pleasurable one. I know I've shared this story with you before, how years ago a woman visited our church office seeking to talk to a pastor. She was looking for some advice. And since I was the pastor on staff who did the bulk of our counseling, and I had some time in my schedule, I said, yeah, come on, send her in and we'll sit down and we'll chat. Now, generally when I do counseling of any kind, I don't like to have a barrier like this. One of the reasons why I use a stand and not a big pulpit is because when I talk, I like to have just nothing between us. And so as we sat down in my office, I sat in my chair and she sat in her chair, and we were facing each other face to face. There was nothing between us. We were in relative close proximity. And I know I've shared this with you before, how there was a moment in our conversation, early in our conversation, when I moved my hand to kind of brush the hair out of my face. And as I did, she flinched and kind of threw up her arm defensively. And instantly and immediately, I knew that her husband was hitting her, right? She was on the receiving end of someone's wrath. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, if any of you have been or know of somebody who has been in a situation like that, but clearly it's not a great, great situation. I don't know if some of you have ever experienced a time in your life when maybe you felt like you were on the receiving end of God's wrath. Maybe a time in your life when you felt like God's thumb was kind of on you and was trying to push you into a new direction, or maybe out of your current situation. Well, in our conversation today, the Bible writer is going to call out three things that elicit God's wrath, three things that you and I would be wise to avoid. And so if you're taking notes in your Palm Harvest app, the first thing that the Bible writer warns us to be aware of, point number one in your app notes, is to avoid mocking someone's tragedy. Avoid mocking someone's tragedy. Church, if you want to get the attention of God, our Heavenly Father, if you want to raise His heavenly blood pressure, so to speak, and get Him fired up, then mock people. Make fun of people when they experience tragedy in their lives. Look at what the Bible writer tells us in verse 5, Proverbs 17, verse 5. He says, those who mock the poor insult their maker. Get this, those who rejoice at the misfortune of others will be punished. One of the things to avoid practicing in order to keep God's wrath, God's punishment off of you, apparently, is to avoid mocking someone's tragedy. You know, friends, the Bible teaches us that God created humanity, man and woman, you and me, in His image, yes? And so I want to suggest that when you and I insult people, or when we say disparaging things about individuals who we do not like, the Bible warns us really here. He's writers telling us, be careful, because every person we know, both our friends and our enemies, has been created in God's image, and we know that God does not create junk. Do you believe that? Turn to your neighbor and say, you have been made in God's image. You and I have been made in God's image. And so you know that makes you special, don't you? You've been made in God's image. Now think about all the personalities that exist in your world. Think about the people you're sitting next to right now, on your left and on your right. How different is your personality from the people who you're sitting next to? You know, some of you are extremely diligent at keeping track of your stuff, right? Whereas others of you have a knack for misplacing things. You know, I've shared this with you before, that if you do a survey according to the kind of the temperament and leadership analysis, and you put me in a room with 100 people or 100 other pastors, there's only going to be one other pastor like me. Out of 100 pastors, I'm like one of two. And so when I walk into, and it's been really helpful to understand that, because now when I know, when I walk into meetings with pastors, I was just on a retreat this past week with a group of pastors, I know that when I open my mouth and I share my perspective, that the chances are small that anybody's going to have the same perspective that I do. They're not going to see things the way that I do. And I've learned to be okay with that, because most people think, oh, here goes Decker again. What an idiot. Right? But then like 3 years later, maybe my perspective, people sit back and go, oh, now I see what he was talking about. But that's true for you too. When you walk into a situation, some of you walk onto this campus and you notice things. And maybe you're critical of those things. And you think, how come nobody's doing anything about that? Well, the answer is simple. Nobody else has seen that. Why? Because they don't have your personality. And so it's important for us to understand that when people respond in a certain way or act in a certain way or make decisions in a certain way, whether they do or don't do, it's simply because that's how God has wired them. You are special. You know, my daughter and my son-in-law have this dog. They have two dogs. They're really our grandchildren, probably, that Rob and I will have to take care of as we get older. But one of their dogs loves to snatch the toothbrush off of the bathroom countertop where you might brush your teeth. And so Cam and Gina have to be diligent about putting their toothbrush in a place or putting it away in order to keep their dog from chewing it to pieces. Well, Cam, our son-in-law, probably over the last 8 years, like I think he, and this is not an exaggeration, he loses like one toothbrush a week. Because he forgets to put it away. And you say, how can that even be possible? He's not wired to think about those things. And so the dog grabs it. It's a nice morning snack. Reinforcing this truth that some of us are detail people and others of us excel in the clutter. Some of us are good at keeping track of things. Others of us, not so much. You know, some of you move in a very deliberate, intentional, calculated fashion. And then there's others like my son-in-law, Cam, who are multitasking a bajillion things at the same time and is excelling at it. You know, because Cam might have a flaw of forgetting to put away the toothbrush, but when it comes to closing a business deal, he stands alone. You are unique. And consequently, a person's uniqueness makes them a little bit different, perhaps a little bit odd. And so, friends, be careful of making fun of those who are different from you, and especially be wary of enjoying another person's misfortune. Because the Bible tells us that God finds such mocking behavior really upsetting, and it will elicit his wrathful attention. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to unpack Proverbs chapter 24. But in verses 17 and 18 of Proverbs chapter 24, if you have a Bible, you can look at it. There are two verses that actually address this particular conversation. Proverbs verse 24, verse 17 says, "Don't rejoice, don't gloat when your enemies fall. Don't be happy when they stumble," verse 18, "for the Lord will be displeased with you and will turn his anger away from them." You know, sometimes, and I've noticed this, and maybe you have too in life, that God, a lot of times he will discipline us or he will try to shape someone's life. But basically what the Bible writer is warning us is when God has his thumb on somebody and maybe he's trying to draw them to himself or trying them to learn, whatever, something about him, and we start to make fun of that person's misfortune, what the Bible says is God has a weird sense of humor where he'll take his thumb off of that person and he'll suddenly stick it on you. So brothers and sisters, be wise. Avoid God's wrath by holding your tongue and avoid mocking someone's tragedy. Good on that? Point number two. A second thing that the writer of Proverbs 17 advises us to do in order for you and me to avoid God's wrath is to offer forgiveness generously. Offer forgiveness generously. Look at verse 9. Love prospers, it tells us, when a fault is forgiving, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Now, if you were a Bible underliner, and maybe there's a way to highlight it, I would really emphasize the word dwell. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Are you all familiar with the phrase kitchen sink arguing? You ever heard that phrase, kitchen sink arguing? You know, if I were to go to a person's home, maybe if I were to come over to your house this morning after our conversation, our service today, what you will often find in a person's kitchen sink is what? Dirty dishes, right? It's true in our case today. You know, show of hands, how many of you have ever placed a dirty dish in the kitchen sink? You know, maybe you have a meal and you throw it in there. Maybe the dishwasher's full, so there's no place to put it. Maybe some of you like to cook. Maybe you're cooking, and so where do you put those dirty implements? You put them in the kitchen, what? The kitchen sink. Now, growing up, my mom tried, really grilled into my brothers and I the habit of putting our dirty dishes in the dishwasher, and maybe some of you have a similar house rule. And for the most part, now as an adult, I'm pretty good at that. But I'll confess that there are times when I will put my dirty drinking glass or maybe a messy cooking implement along with a used fork or knife in the kitchen sink to be dealt with and washed at a later time. How many of you can relate to that? Hey, show of hands, anybody? Okay. Well, in a relationship, now here's the segue. In a relationship, when a wrong is committed, whenever a person says something or does something that hurts another person's feeling, not all of us are wired to address the conflict straight up. Some of us avoid conflict. Some of us really don't like conflict. And so what we do with that hurt is we will set it aside, right? To be dealt with at a later time. Some people will simply shelf that offensive remark or that offensive action and they'll place it in the kitchen sink, figuratively. And it'll just sit there, dirty, tainted, unaddressed. It could sit there for days, it could sit there for months. For some people, it might even sit there for years until what? Until a disagreement flares up, right? Until an argument arises. And in the heat of the conversation or heat of the discussion, when the emotions are high and our tongues become loose, rather than solely focus on the issue at hand, what some people will do, and maybe you identify this, they will simply reach into the kitchen sink and grab the dirty dishes that are there. Those unresolved, unaddressed issues that are sitting in the sink. And what they'll do is they'll take those things and they'll throw them into the conversation. And brothers and sisters, in my professional opinion, kitchen sink arguing is dangerous. And it is destructive. And it is not a useful communication strategy for deepening intimacy. To the best of your ability, brothers and sisters, with God's help, avoid kitchen sink arguing. And the way that you do that, the way that I do that in part, is by offering forgiveness generously. In fact, in the notes sections of your app outline, I'd like you to write down this phrase, and that is this: forgiveness wins every time. Forgiveness wins every time. You know, when conflict arises in your relationships, I really urge you to deal with those dirty dishes straight up. And then stick them in Jesus' dishwasher, right? To be washed clean, never to be brought up again. Let it go. We call this loose grip living. Look at what verse 19 says, Proverbs 17, verse 19. It says, anyone who loves to quarrel loves sin. Anyone who trusts in high walls. You know what high walls are? High walls is when we put up our, you know, don't get close. We put up the barriers. Basically, high walls is means you're unwilling to be vulnerable. If you want to develop intimacy in a relationship, you have to make yourself vulnerable. You have to be willing to be hurt. You got to be willing to say, you know what? Wow, ouch, those real words really hurt. You want to try it again. You got to be able to expose yourself for a person to hurt you even more. That's what low walls are. But the Bible writer tells us here that anyone who trusts in high walls, meaning you're unwilling to be vulnerable, it says invites disaster. So ponder this question. How hard is it for you to offer forgiveness generously? I was having coffee this week with Chuck and Ron. They meet, you know, down at Panera, and there was a group of guys that were there and around the table, and we got on the conversation of forgiveness. And I asked the question, I said, you know who benefits the most, don't you, from forgiveness? And Gil, who was there, I met him for the first time. He says, yeah, the forgiver benefits the most. And I said, ding, 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 ding. Good answer. The one who lets go is the one who will experience health and peace. And I don't know, have you experienced that personally in your own life? Forgiveness wins every time. Now give me your feedback, yes or no. Is forgiveness, offering forgiveness, always easy to do? Yes or no? No. That's not easy. When someone hurts me, I often want to hurt them back. But God says, brothers and sisters, offer forgiveness. And with his help, you and I can. Now, here's the challenge. The devil knows, right? He knows that he wants us. He knows that if we will hold on to our anger, no matter how justified it may be, if we will just kind of keep those dirty dishes festering and unattached in our kitchen sink, the devil knows that that unforgiveness, those dirty dishes, will destroy. Yes? You guys know what I'm talking about? The one unforgiveness hurts most is me. So everybody kind of pound their chest here. It hurts us the most. So let's personalize this. Is there anyone in your life who has harmed you? We've talked about this in the past. Or maybe more relevant, is there anyone in your life who you are currently angry with right now? And I'm talking to those of you online too. Anybody you are currently frustrated with. Maybe somebody who's not going along with the program. Think about those people, and I want you to pray a short prayer with me, okay? So everybody bow their head, close their eyes. Not that you have to pray or there's anything spiritual about closing your eyes, but it just helps us focus. I want you to kind of take a deep breath, inhale, hold it just for a minute, and then exhale. Now pray this. Say, dear Jesus, please help me to forgive, and you fill in the blank. Dear Jesus, please help me to forgive. Jesus, I feel angry. I feel hurt. Maybe you feel betrayed. And so pray, Jesus, in my strength, I don't know how to let go of these feelings. And so, Jesus, right now in this moment, please help me to forgive. Good. Now, before we leave this prayer time, I want you to think about this. I wonder how many of you, maybe the person that you need to forgive most is yourself. You know, I don't know if any of you here today or anybody watching online is carrying a backpack of regret or guilt as you wake up to this new day. Maybe you are carrying a heavy backpack filled with shame. If so, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. So again, deep breath, exhale. Now pray this, to say, dear Jesus, please forgive me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. And please help me to move forward with a fresh perspective. Because Jesus, I know that you love me. Jesus, I know that you want me to excel. So please help me in this moment. Please forgive me. Good. Amen. Church, do you want to avoid God's wrath? Do you want to live a healthy and fruitful life? Then avoid mocking someone's tragedy. Offer people forgiveness generously. And then point number three, don't poke the bear. You ever heard that phrase? Don't poke the bear. Or a new phrase that I'm starting to use is don't agitate the bison. Don't agitate the bison. You know, as most of you know, I just returned from a 16-day motorcycle trip. I traveled 4,916 miles. It was epic. Maybe one of the best motorcycle trips I've ever had. I had a chance to drive through 9 states. I visited 7 national parks, dozens of national forests that I got the chance to drive through. I experienced temperatures ranging from 46 degrees to 110 degrees. I rolled into Missoula, Montana. It was 109, and the next morning it was 46, like 8 hours later. I drove in weather that was just wind that would put the bike at almost at a 45-degree, 90-degree angle. It was crazy stuff. And aside from a minor mechanical glitch that I had to MacGyver my way through, which is always fun, you spend your night thinking, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to... Bing! And you try it, and it worked out. And I talked to a mechanic 3 days later to see if he would remedy my issue, and he said, I think what you did is good, and second, I think you should do a YouTube video on that. So I've done a YouTube video. I haven't posted it yet, but it's what do you do when this happens in your life? So thank you for your prayers. But I don't know what it is about my annual motorcycle trips, but for whatever reason, I always seem to have at least one encounter with the wildlife. With deer, you know, a couple years ago, it was the bear. And on this particular trip, bison, not once, but twice. And in fact, one of my clips that I shot, I posted, you know, on my Instagram account, and already over 75,000 people have watched it. It's like, I think people love to see motorcyclists die or get thrown by bison, but it's kind of cool. But Beto, do we have this clip? I have another clip I want us to watch. I don't know. We'll see. I haven't test drived this, but check out this clip, and then I want to draw an analogy from it. So I'm sitting on my motorcycle. I come to a stop, and I start thinking, my first thought is, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Because you've all seen the bison videos of people in Yellowstone. And right now they're rutting, which means they're in the mating season. And so these bulls are super frisky, super unpredictable. Every ranger will tell you, keep your distance. And I'm locked in. There's a car behind me. All these cars are pushing this. There's probably a herd of 30 or 40 bison toward me. And I'm on a 2-lane road. And so I kind of pull over to the edge, although there's all these calves coming. And I don't know what to do. I've never been in a situation like that. I can't really get off my bike because now I'm going to be standing, you know, but I have my camera going. And so I just kind of left. I thought, well, I'm going to leave the motorcycle running in case I need to make a bolt, but there's really nowhere for me to go. And if I bolt, I'm probably going to get whacked, you know. You see these bulls going after these motorcyclists. So I'm sitting there while these bulls and the cows and the calves are kind of, you know, they're walking within, like from that microphone right there. And my thought is, I'm going to have a broken leg here in a second. These bulls would kind of look at you and they would, you know, and I'm just like, got the camera going and breathing, trying not to move anything. And as you can tell, it worked out fine. My heart skipped a beat, and the ranger said, you did what was right, and, you know, you didn't cause any hostility. But here's my point. Friends, do you want to avoid God's wrath? Then don't poke the bear. Don't agitate the bison. You know, when we meddle in other people's affairs unsolicited, and that's key, when we have an agenda of causing chaos in another person's life, the Bible writer warns us that God has a way of returning on us the bad that we had hoped to bring on others. Don't poke the bear. If there's chaos going around you, we talked about this a few years ago, there's no need for you to grab the ears of the dog because you're going to get bit. Sit as calm as you can, as hard as that might be, because a lot of us are leaders, but don't poke the bear. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay calm. Look at verse 11. Proverbs 17, verse 11 states, evil people are eager for rebellion, but they will be severely punished. Verse 14 states, starting a quarrel, it says, is like opening a floodgate, so stop before a dispute breaks out. Don't poke the bear. Don't agitate the bison. Verse 20 says, the crooked heart will not prosper. The lying tongue tumbles into trouble. You know, brothers and sisters, God has created you. He has created me. He has created your neighbor, your friends, and your enemies in his image. We talked about this. Every person on this planet is special in God's eyes, even those who have not yet given their heart to Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And we've talked about this in previous conversations. God has taught me, and I know he's taught many of you, that there are evil people in this world. There are snakes in the grass. And while we have a kingdom responsibility to steward well the influence that God has entrusted to us, we must be careful at not mocking or even enjoying the downfall of those who we don't like. Now, I'll be the first to disclose, I kind of enjoy it sometimes when the people I don't like, when things don't go that well for them. Am I alone in that? And God just says, be careful. Be careful. Proverbs 17 in this Bible advises us today that in order to avoid God's wrath, we should work hard with God's help and avoid mocking someone's tragedy. We should offer forgiveness generously, and we should refrain from poking the bear, from agitating the bison, because chances are good that when you and I agitate the agitator, things won't end well. And this, my brothers and sisters, is wisdom to live by. Let's close in prayer. Lord, today you have given us some straightforward wisdom. Some straightforward wisdom about letting you be God and for us not to be that role. So Lord, help us to not celebrate when people struggle. Help us rather to want people to win. Lord, help us to offer forgiveness generously to those in our world, particularly our family and our spouses, for those of us who are married. Lord, help us to have a loose grip on stuff. Help us to live with a clean kitchen sink. And Lord, help us to give us the discernment that we need to know when to say something and when to stay silent. Help us not to agitate the bison. Help us not to poke the bear. Lord, pour out your favor upon those here today and watching online as they strive to apply the wisdom of Proverbs 17 into their lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and everybody said, amen.